किं दुस्सहं नु साधूनां किं दुस्सहं नु साधूनां विदुषां किमपेक्षितं किम् अकार्यं कदर्याणां दुस्त्यजं किं धृतात्मनां किं दुःसहं नु साधूनां विदुषां किमपेक्षितं किमकार्यं कदर्याणां दुस्त्यजं किं धृतात्मनां. See, the meaning of this is kim dussaham na sadhuna. What is impossible for sadhus or saintly persons to tolerate? He's asking. And he's saying, vidusham kim apekshitam. What expectations do such saintly people have? They have no expectation from anybody. Kim apekshitam. They don't desire anything in this world. Vidusham kim apekshitam. There is no apeksha inside the sadhus. So first line is talking about a saintly person. Second line says, kim akaryam kadaryanam. Kadaryanam means those who are extremely sinful people, those who harass the living entities. Kim akaryam. What horrible acts can they not do? And last line again is talking about sadhu. Dustyajam kim dhritatmanam. Dhritatmana means one who is fixed up in the devotional service to the Supreme Lord. What is difficult for him to give up? So what is the meaning of this? Kim dussaham nu sadhunam means what? What difficulties can a sadhu not tolerate? The example is Vasudev. When his wife was harassed by Kamsa, her hair was caught by his hand and he was about to kill her. That is kim dussaham nu sadhunam. Sadhu people, even they can face such situations very calmly, with a calm mind, without getting agitated. And vidusham kim apekshitam. Now Vasudeva and Devaki were put in the jail, although he was a kshatriya. He could have taken a sword and fought a valiant battle with Kamsa. But Lord Krishna did not want Vasudeva to fight. Therefore Vasudeva is called Shauri. Shauri means his shurata is not one way, his shurata is two way. Shurata means what? If you are told to fight, you should fight. If you are told to put your sword inside, you have to put it inside. Like there is a fast cycle race, there is a slow cycle race. So fast cycle race, somebody may be able to win. But slow cycle race is very, you have to drive very, very slow. You know, correct? Right? People go very slowly. So similarly, to raise the sword and fight a battle is fast cycle race. But when Krishna told him, I am going to appear in your dynasty as eighth child. So you be inside the jail and don't fight any battle. So Vasudeva was inside, peaceful. So therefore, vidusham kim apekshitam. There is no expectation for Vasudeva other than, you know, having Krishna as his son. No other expectation in this world. Dustyajam kim dhritatmanam. What cannot such great souls give up? He is saying. Which means he can give up his six children, one after another. To whom? To Kamsa. Dustyajam kim dhritatmanam. What they cannot give up. For any parent in this world, to give up even one child would be painful. But they gave up six children, one after another. Although it is very dustyajam, very difficult to give up. But because he was fixed in Krishna's pleasure, he was ready to forego the six children and then eventually beget Krishna. So this is talking about the tolerance level of great souls. See, generally we tend to think that the external environment is actually the cause of our anger or intolerance or impatience, which is far from truth. Therefore, His Grace Mahatma Prabhu is one of the disciples of Prabhupada. He has spoken many lectures in ISKCON, different places. So, in one of his lectures he says, what is inside of you comes outside of you. So, he in one of such articles he says, if you take an orange and squeeze it, you will get orange juice. If you take grapes and squeeze it, you will get grapes juice. If you take Kerala and squeeze it, you will get Kerala juice. So the juice that comes out is what is inside the fruit. Similarly, somebody may squeeze you by exhibiting certain type of behavior which may cause irritation in you, and what comes outside of you is what is inside of you, he says. So the squeezing people may be different people, but whoever squeezes you, the same dirty thing comes out of us, which means intolerance, impatience, like that he says. So, and you may wonder, is it really true? That means, am I a bad person? Our outlook to life is so important. You know, Dalai Lama was staying in Swiss Alps, in one accommodation, on a they had put him on a hilltop accommodation. So he just saw the window glass was fully openable, big glass. He opened it and he peeped and saw there was a huge green valley, and for hundreds of miles the valley was going down, spreading like a green carpet everywhere. It was a steep valley it was, and he saw that, and then he, in one of his articles, he wrote, you see, if somebody sees this beautiful Alps mountain ranges and valleys and fresh air, breathing fresh air, one may think, oh, how nice it is, I can sit in my room and I can watch the beautiful mountainscape, greenery, and I can do my chanting, meditation, because you can concentrate very nicely, there is no distraction there. And another fellow, some youth may come get some suicidal thoughts. He may think, now no one is around, I'll jump out of the room window, and he may fall down the valley and he may die. Correct, no? See, so he says that the environment around is same, but two different people think in two different ways. Correct, no? They think differently. So it's inside mindset. So this is very important. That means if we are irritable, if we are angry, if we are upset, we are put off, we blurt out, we spill out, like it is said, no, spilt milk, sped arrow, and spoken words cannot be taken back. So when so what comes out is what is inside of us, he says. You know the story of Sanatana Goswami. When Sanatana Goswami told that fellow to take that parasamani from the garbage dump, he took it and went, and then he came back after some time. He created a lot of gold. He made his table into gold, you know, mic stand into gold, you know, seat into everything into gold he made it. And then he was still unhappy. He came back to Sanatana. So he asked Sanatana one very brilliant question. He said, earlier I came to you for taking this parasamani, but now I have come to you to ask for something else, he said. Sanatana asked, what do you want? He said, you so liberally allowed me to take this parasamani away, isn't it? So what is in you that made you give away the parasamani? I want that, he said. Because there is something in you which has made you so blossomed personality that you are able to, you know, very liberally give away parsimony also. Correct, no? So that means you must be having something very, very great. Therefore, the noble qualities which we find in the Vaishnava devotees, like for example, Prahlad Maharaj's ability to forgive his father and pray for his father, or Ambarish Maharaj's ability to forgive Durvasamani, or you find in this way, in the great Vaishnava, certain qualities exist. They are golden qualities. So they are existing because of their affection for the Lord, because of their intense affection for the Lord. They exhibit very, very noble qualities. So that fellow came and asked, I want what is inside of you. You gave me something, what is outside from the garbage dump. Now I want that thing what is inside you, your heart, which is you are not even aspiring for earthly pleasure or heavenly pleasure or mystic siddhis or even moksha or anything. What is it that you have? So then Sanatan told him, the secret of that, you know, quality that I have is that came from chanting the holy name. Now you take the chanting, he gave him.
Correct, no?
So then how can we change our inside? Our insides, if our inside is having lemon juice, then lemon will come out. If our inside is Kerala juice, then Kerala will come out. So then how do we change our inside? As you heard, there's good dog and bad dog story. So whatever you feed, that develops. Therefore, one has to, Prabhupada writes in one of his commentaries, he says that in spiritual life, we cannot get stagnated. And we cannot just undergo the routine without consciously thinking about, you know, how to bring about some change in my thought, word and deed. So we have to think about it, he says. So one has to take initiative. One example I'll tell you, you will appreciate what I'm saying. You know, Jayananda Prabhu was admitted in the hospital and he had leukemia disease. See, this leukemia is a very deadly disease. It will gradually shrink the body, it will eat up the body over a period of time. So doctors told him that, you know, you will not survive for a very long time, but we can slightly extend your life. So his family members had sent him some $5,000 for the disease. So he was wondering, see, if I use this money for medicine and all, I may live another 6-8 months. If I give it away to Prabhupada, I may live 3-4 months. Just for 1 or 2 more months, why should I waste this money? So he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, anyway, my body is a dying body. You use it in Krishna service. He gave it away. And he was admitted in the hospital. So he was bedridden, but he could get up from the bed. He could walk a little bit. So every morning he would rise and get ready for 4:30 Mangalarti. He would do Narsingarti, Tulasi Arati. Everything he conducted, Guru Puja he would do. And he would give a Bhagavatam class. And for the Bhagavatam class, his whole room would become completely packed. Full room. The whole hall would get packed. Now you may wonder how people came. So, was he a very great expert in giving class that so much crowd came? Actually, he was not very known for his preaching. He was more known for his behavior. But after the Guru Puja he would do, he would personally go to every patient to follow them up for the class. He'll personally go and call. He would give personal invitation with folded palms. Please, I'm going to give a class in that particular hall. Please come, please come. He thought that I'm going to die very soon. Let me convey Krishna consciousness to as many people as possible. He would call and then people would come gather. Because people thought he is personally inviting. How can I say no? He's himself a patient. So they would go. Then he would read out from Bhagavatam, read the translation purport, speak a little bit, he would do. Now think about anybody else. Imagine if any of us had leukemia and we are in a dying mode. So what are we likely to do? Think about it. We may probably, you know, as soon as you get up in the morning, 5 o'clock, immediately the disease thought may come in the mind. I have this disease. I am going to die. I am counting my last days. Correct, no? That will be our consciousness. Mar gaya abhi. Abhi tak mara nahi, marne wale hain. But you will find that our mind will become depressed. It will become morose. And probably all Mangalarti, Narsingarti, everything we may want to discount because we have a disease. Correct, now I am lying in the bed. And you may chant, you know, probably you may chant a few rounds possible. But our whole day will become stupid and worry about our disease. Correct, no? But you see how he spent his last days. Think about it. So here is an example of Jayananda Prabhu, I told you. How we all have our freedom and choice to modify our thinking process. At least by seeing such great devotees. We can, if our mindset always has intolerance and irritable nature and impatience and blurting out nature, and we get irritated like Rahugana. So then one has to find out how I can modify my thinking process and how I can modify my speech and action. Then we can. Now two things we want to discuss. One is how we can cultivate tolerance with wisdom. We don't want to cultivate tolerance blindly because that will lead to suppression. So we want to cultivate tolerance with wisdom. That's one question. Another question is, why at all cultivate tolerance? Somebody may say, this is what I am, don't ask me to be somebody different. This is my nature and I have been like this from childhood. My parents brought me up in that way. My teachers taught me in this way. I had that type of friends. I watched that type of movies. I am a little passionate fellow and this is what I am. And you just learn to, shape up or ship out. You shape up yourself to my behavior or you do what you wish. I can't change. Why should I change? Somebody may ask like that. Therefore, we should know the reason. Why do we need to cultivate patience, tolerance, one mode of goodness behavior? One can have this question. So these two questions. So the second question is more difficult. I will answer that, but I will answer the first question. First, what is the first question? Tolerance, tolerating with wisdom. So who can say, how can you, with your permission, can I take this? I'm supposed to. Actually, Sujit Prabhu had to go very far away to get it, so I got a bit late. Okay, now give the mic to them. Let us see who all are answering. How to cultivate tolerance with wisdom? Siddharth, come here, stand with your mic and invite the answers and comment. Come here.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So devotees, the floor is open for devotees to answer. Understanding that it is my own karma because of which I am put into these situations.
Okay. We have a board, we don't have a board, no? Where is that? It will be nice to put all the answers, or you can type it in this. You can take this. First we will take them and then we will comment on them.
What I am receiving is
open
actually
the word you can open.
A token of what I deserve. Because Krishna is very merciful. So he is giving only a token of punishment, token punishment to me instead of whole result. So it's better for me to accept and
put a big font. Mic is working.
Just as we acting according to our modes and we react to situations which we lament ourselves, the same way others are also control of their modes, so we should not take it very seriously.
Right then. Yeah, any other answer? Yeah.
We'll tolerate because it pleases Guru and Krishna.
Very good. There are two more hands up, yeah.
Hare Krishna. First of all, we have to have the knowledge what we should tolerate, what we should not tolerate. So that is the first part, knowledge part. Because tolerance can also be in mode of passion, ignorance and goodness. So the knowledge about what is should be tolerated, we should clarify with our authority that what I should tolerate.
Okay.
Then after that, we should hear about the great devotees, how they have tolerated the situation. And slowly, slowly, you may, with the help of proper knowledge and guidance, practice that quality of tolerance. Immediately, we cannot achieve 100%. We will fail also, but slowly, slowly, we will achieve that. And we should associate with the devotees
okay.
who have the tolerance.
Okay, associating.
Develop higher taste.
One more thing he said. Cultivating knowledge.
Developing higher taste, such as reading Bhagavatam, so that when we have the higher taste and we get the quality of the Lord, then tolerance is second nature.
Yes, you can, a higher taste you can say. Yes. Oh, those of higher taste can easily tolerate the lower pushings. Yes. Anybody else? Yeah, the two more hands up. Yeah. And that side also, yeah. Ah, yeah, take them.
If we do not tolerate, we may get into more trouble.
Yeah. Due to not wanting to invite more trouble, you can say. Not wanting to invite more trouble.
Understanding the nature of this material world through scriptures, it gives us wisdom to tolerate more.
And that means the nature of material world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam, is it?
Yeah.
So you tolerate, yeah. You can say understanding nature of this world, dukkhalayam. Yes, good. And that is association. Association is... So we have to be with them. What he is saying, you know, practically being with people who give us trouble regularly. Is it necessary? Is it necessary? Is it necessary? Okay, yeah, yeah. Mataji, you are...
Two months back, he said that at many times we react to certain situation. We
correct.
Don't respond
yeah.
to certain situation.
You can write the word, don't react, comma, but respond. Yeah. Yes, that's a good point. Yes. One hand up, yes. Yeah, loudly.
We know that whatever happens in the life of a devotee is an orchestration of Krishna. So we can take that thing.
But we are not pure devotees that Krishna is orchestrating. Actually, what is happening in our life, can we say Krishna is orchestrating it? Actually, it's often orchestrated by material nature, conditioned stage, isn't it? Actually, maybe it is Krishna's will, Krishna is purifying me through somebody. We can think like that, yeah. So, that is one karma. Yes? Yeah, these two? You know, yeah.
Hare Krishna. Bhakti Rasan Maharaj tells, if you will not tolerate, then you have to tolerate.
Yeah, yeah. You'll be forced to tolerate. Okay, he's saying, you know, just like a Garbhavati lady, ultimately she only have to beget a child. In the same manner, if you don't tolerate, you'll be forced to tolerate. Instead of grudgingly tolerating, voluntarily tolerate, he's saying. Correct, no?
Actually, we also have so many deficiencies, so many are tolerating us also.
Very good. That's an additional point. Another point.
We should understand that we should also tolerate.
Yeah. This will make us humble. Huh? Yeah. Anybody? One last? Anybody? Yes.
To keep good relationship with devotees.
To save the relationships. That's correct. Very good. Save relationships. Okay. Now you can give me here. Yeah. Thank you. See, so many devotees have given very thoughtful points on how to tolerate. Sometimes we may not be able to remember all of them when we are put in a situation. Suddenly you are thrown into a situation and you may not remember how to respond. So, the 11th point which Mataji said, don't react but respond. What is the difference between reacting and responding? Reacting means like bursting, just like without acting without thinking. It's called instinct, acting instinctively. But responding means look before you leap. So how can we do that look before you leap? For that we need to cultivate mode of goodness. We need to cultivate mode of goodness. Mode of goodness, if it is cultivated, we become sober, grave, thoughtful, we may wonder why this person is speaking like this to me. He was a good person always. Maybe I did some blunder. What did I do wrong that he is speaking like this? Or maybe my bad karma. Maybe it's a bad time. Maybe he is not in a good mood today. Maybe kala, karma, guna, they are attacking. Because in this world, as per the, if kala is bad, some bad things come. Similarly, the my own karma or guna means either my gunas or his guna. The modes, lower modes are causing this tussle between us. You know. Now how can I sort it out in such a way so that Guru and Krishna will be happy? Let us both work together cooperatively. Anyway, both of us, we have to leave this world and go. Neither of us are going to stay here permanently. Let us try to come together, because if I am going to get into a fight, that will neither benefit me nor him, nor will it please Guru and Krishna, correct, no? So this kind of thinking is only possible if you think in mode of goodness. In Rajaguna, one cannot think like this. So that kind of thoughtfulness. So many nice points are given here, very nice. So we should see the people as, sometimes the people who are causing us irritation may be ignorant people. They may not be envious. So if they are ignorant or foolish, or they are acting due to wrong perceptions about you, you can only feel sorry for them, rather than becoming angry at them. If you think they are ignorant, you will feel sorry. If you think they are envious, you will feel angry. Correct, no? So in this way, now another question I asked you, about why tolerate. Who can answer that? Why tolerate? Yeah, why should we tolerate? Tell the mic. Actually, how to tolerate, I got 11, 12 answers. But why tolerate, I couldn't get much hands up, because this is a serious question. Because if internally I am not convinced that tolerating is important, then even though I may have a dozen solutions, my mind will not be convinced to apply them. Correct, no? See, is solution to tolerating wisdom valuable without knowing the importance of tolerance? Like somebody may think, Prabhuji, if you are tolerant, no other devotees will be happy. People will say you are a good person. Is that the only reason? That is a very petty reason. There must be some really strong reason why we should tolerate. Raise the hand, anybody? Yeah. Give the mic to them, yeah. Yes, there also. One mic should be given that side. Yeah. Prabhu, you pass that one mic to them. You have one? Okay, yeah.
Krishna says, Nirman Moha Jit Sangha Dosha Dhyat Nitta Minimit Kama Dvande Mukte Dukt Sukra Sangha. So one who can go back to Godhead, one who can surrender, and for surrender one need to tolerate all the dualities. happiness and distress, heat and cold, insult, honor and dishonor. Okay. Then only one can surrender, then only one can come back.
In Bhagavad Gita, repeatedly Krishna speaks, Shitoshna, Sukha Dukkeshu, Tata Mana Apamanayo. These are called dualities, we call them. In this world, one more verse he says, Na prakrishyet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha priyam, stira buddhi rasam moodho, brahma vid brahmani stitaha. He says, Na prakrishyet, don't become too jolly, Na prakrishyet priyam prapya, he says, when you achieve something very pleasant in life. Na udvijet prapya cha priyam, you see, there is one story. Any of you heard about Trojan War? You heard? You know? See, the enemy people who won the battle, they were very jolly. They were actually celebrating festival, drinking and everything. And the opposite army, which was defeated, they told that we have a big wooden horse, you know, we want to gift it to your king. So please take it to this in a king's palace. Only thing is a very heavy horse, they said. They said, never mind, it's very nicely made. A huge size, like elephant size horse, wooden horse it was made. Huge, tall also. And it had wheels also. So they had taken it to give it to the king. So when they took it inside their palace to give it to the king was examining it, it looked very well. And at that time, suddenly, there was on side a square door which opened. And then from both sides, boom, 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 all the soldiers jumped out. Because inside there were some of the best and most valiant soldiers were inside the horse. Then they attacked the king and they never expected something like that. The war, there was a powerful war after that. The enemy party won them. By this trick, they won them. But why I'm telling you, in this world, Na prakrishyet priyam prapya. If you are successful, don't be too jolly because there may be failure on the way which can come. And then Na udvijayet prapya cha apriyam, he's saying. In case failure comes, don't become udvijayet. Don't become angry, he says. Why? Because you can always learn lessons from your mistakes and then perform better later. Correct? No? Like that he says. Sthira buddhir, he says. You should be equipoised, he says. So, in this world, if we become too jolly or too sad, then we forget Krishna. We get stuck in the material world only. Therefore, he says, Shita Vishna Sukha. For example, if it is very hot here, for example, then you become too preoccupied, you know, should we put some fan, or should we cover all the windows and put air conditioner here, how we can be more comfortable, correct now? So you become so preoccupied, your chanting is finished. You cannot chant. So in this world, you find all the vanities are worrying about dukkha. To set right the dukkha, they are running here and there and they forget the ultimate goal. Correct, no? That's what he is saying. So this is one of the first reasons, the reason for tolerance. If you want to go back to Godhead, you should be able to tolerate sukha dukkha, tolerate shita vishna and tolerate man apaman. If you cannot tolerate apaman, you cannot chant peacefully. How many of you experience? Correct, no? Yeah, you will find that as soon as you sit for chanting, oh, that so-and-so said this about me, you know, that's not true. Why people are misunderstanding me? I want to prove it to him and to others that I am like this, I am good. And correct, no? This will keep on, you know, so many thoughts will be coming. Therefore, Krishna says you should learn to tolerate it. And how to tolerate, you all have already told. So this is one serious reason Krishna says, you have your spiritual focus and don't get sidelined. The example is given, somebody has put fire on your house and they're running away. Now what is important? Putting off the fire is important or chasing and beating them up is very important? Beating? Beating out the fire? Putting out the fire. How many of you will put out the fire in the house? Acha, you will forgive the fellow who ran away? Yeah. Baad mein pitai karenge usko. First let us finish off this, he's saying. So, in the same manner, when we become intolerant, how we react with the other fellow is a different thing. We ourselves suffer. So, therefore, we have to set right our dualities so that we can peacefully focus on going back to Godhead. Actually, our mind has to be like a very clean house, and the floor is cleaned up, and you put phenol or Dettol or whatever. It's neatly cleaned and mopped and dried under the fan. So like that, our heart has to be very clean, peaceful place. It cannot have raga dvesha. It cannot have sukha dukkha. It cannot have man apaman. Otherwise, we cannot do our spiritual life. That's one of the main reasons. Any other reason? Anybody? We'll take one. Yes, Mataji, you say.
Prabhuji, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Bhagavat Maharaj had given a very nice example in 2005 in Delhi. He said the example of a mango.
Okay.
Kacha mango.
Paka mango. Kacha is very
bitter.
Bitter, yeah.
Yeah, it's not very sweet.
Yeah.
But as and when you go on tolerating, you become a ripe mango.
Okay.
So he gave a very nice striking example. He says, when tolerance reaches to 100%, humility starts from there. So this was little striking.
Okay. As we keep on tolerating, we become truly humble. Correct. Thank you. Anybody else this side? So she's saying that if you keep tolerating, you become a more ripe devotee, mature. How many of you would like to become ripe and mature devotee? Yeah. So that is one reason why we should tolerate. Correct, no? If I don't tolerate, I'll remain a kacha mango only. For small things I get, you know, put off. Then I remain a kacha mango only. So if you want to become pakka mango, then you should tolerate. So this is a good reason. So like this, we have, this is another reason, dualities. I mean, you know, say for example, you are going in a car from your house to the temple, and there is a Bhagavatam class at 8:40, and if you go straight to the temple now, you will just reach by 8:45. Jarada Madhava may be over, you will reach. You want to attend the class. On the way, you know, when you are going in your car, you know, somebody came and talk, you know, hit the car from the side. So your mirror, which is like this, you know, outside the car, it just turned like this. Sometimes it turns, no? Somebody hits it like this, it just turned like this. So now immediately, you know, you stopped that fellow and you stopped your car, you picked up a big quarrel. How can you hit my car? You are so foolish and you did this. And then he shouts at you, you shout at him. So you lose about 1 hour in that. So what will happen? Bhagavatam class is gone. You missed the Bhagavatam class. So just as in your quarrel, you lost the purpose of traveling in your car to the temple. The goal is lost. Similarly, going back to Godhead is the goal. If you are going to become affected by Shita, Ushna, Sukhadaka and the sides in this world, then our goal is not achieved. So what we should, therefore, Rupa Goswami, one example I'll tell you. When Rup Narayan came to him and said, are you ready for a debate? Let us have a heated argument and defeat one another and we'll see who wins. What Rupa Goswami said? So what do you want it for? He said, I have a patrika. If you get defeated me, you should sign it in this instance. He said, right now I will sign. Bring it here. He signed. I agree, I am defeated by you. Carry on now. Be happy. Huh? Why he did that? Because he wanted peace of mind to do his bhajan. He didn't want to waste his time with such kinds of people. In useless pajalpa, fighting, arguing, debating. Because debating makes the heart harder. Huh? And one may forget the ultimate goal of life, you see. So, this reason he said, our Vrija Krishna Prabhu said, and Mataji said that we can become more ripe, like a mango becoming kacha to pakka mango. Prabhuji said, anybody? Where is the mic? Yeah. Give the mic to somebody. Yeah, you have a mic with you. You have a point? Yeah, quick.
Prabhuji, in the incident of Punjab Bank, when one devotee went and told him that some mistake that manager had done, and one devotee told that what you have done is nonsense, and that person gave the whole bank accounting to ISKCON only. That time Prabhupada made the comment that even if a fool is put as an authority, you still have to please him, because he might not be any help to you, but surely he'll cause nuisance. In the long run, we lose a lot if we are not tolerant.
Correct. This I also read that. Very interesting to see. In Punjab National Bank was doing the most laborious job for ISKCON at one time. But one Prabhupada disciple, he told them, what nonsense have you done here? See, you have committed a mistake in some accounting thing. That word nonsense was too heavy for them. They said, what? You are calling us nonsense? Now you guys only do everything. they put it back on ISKCON. So huge volume of work had to be accounting and, you know, things had to be done by ISKCON. That time Prabhupada came to know and Prabhupada said, just see, you know, you have mistreated them and they have dumped the work on you now, like that Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada said, you have to be very careful dealing with people. And at the time Prabhupada said one more thing. Imagine if a fool has got 1 crore rupees in his pocket. Huh? And if you are intelligent, you will be able to get that 1 crore for Krishna service. Correct, na? But you have to deal with him very. You have to tolerate him. If you look at him and say, look at your face in the mirror, you look like a fool. Huh? If you tell him, then he will not give you a single penny. Huh? But you have to deal with him so smartly that he will say, okay, I am very happy, take this 1 crore, build your temple. You should give like that. Therefore, we have to tolerate. That means what these examples teach us, we have to tolerate if you want to help the mission succeed. If you want a mission, if the mission should succeed, we have to tolerate foolish people. We have to tolerate, you know, foolish people committing mistakes sometimes, little mistakes. And if we become intolerant and fire them, then we may lose good work and our mission will suffer. Good point, thank you. This side nobody is there, okay, one more? Yes. Give the mic, there are 2 hands up, yeah. Yes. Why tolerate? Yes, Prabhu.
Krishna says in 2.64 Bhagavad Gita, Prasadam Adi Gacchati. So for the receiving the mercy of the Lord, we should tolerate.
Beautiful point. If you follow the vidhis and you tolerate, then you will get Krishna's mercy. And when Krishna's mercy comes, prasade sarva dukhanam hanirasya upajayate prasanna cheta shohi asho buddhi pariyavatishtate. He says, that means, you know, when Krishna's mercy comes in your life, all your dukkha will be evaporated, finished. And you will become a prasanna chitta Vala Bhakta. You will become you will experience a prasanna chitta. So how many of you want prasanna chitta you want? Yeah. So then if you want prasanna chitta, then the homework you have to do is tolerate. Tolerate the urges of the mind and senses. And Shita Ushna Sukha Dukha Mana Puman. You tolerate it, then you can all your dukkha will be gone eventually and you will become cheerful, he says, happy. And your buddhi will become one-pointed, vyavasayatmika buddhi. That also he says. Thank you. Nice point. Anybody else? Yeah, one more? Yes, Prabhu. Krishna Prabhu, tell. Yeah.
We are not in control, we know that. And things
we are not in control of people and situations.
Yeah. Yes. And things are bound to go wrong.
Yes. Why? Because we are in material world.
Yeah. So there
and people have 4 defects also. Yeah. And there is also Kalakaram Guna acting constantly. Correct. Huh? See, this is a very smart answer, what Krishna Prabhu gave. Actually, this is one very vital answer Bhagavatam gives, what he said. That means, you know, in this material world, we are not in control of situations. No? Is Maya Adhyakshan Prakriti, Krishna says, you know, who is in control? Krishna is in control. We are not in control. We are tiny jiva. We are a tiny jiva, not the ultimate Lord, but a tiny part and parcel. What is the next line? Yeah. You have heard this song? Yeah, isn't it? So you should remember this always. We are a tiny part and parcel. Unfortunately, when we are intolerant at that time, we forget this fact. Actually, if you remember that I am very tiny, Krishna is very great, I am not in control. You know, the material agency is in control, material agency is under Krishna's control. So, and also everyone is having full of 4 defects and living entities. They have, and also the Kala, Karma, Gunas are acting, the 3 Gunas are making everybody like a puppet. So we are not in control. So this material world situation is uncontrollable and uncertain, both. It is uncertain also and it is. Okay, in case you find it is uncertain and suddenly you have found out what is the problem, it's uncontrollable also. You cannot set it right also. Many situations cannot be set right by us. So when a devotee understands these facts, a devotee understands that what else can I do? I can only pray to Lord and depend on Him. Oh my dear Lord, please set right the situation. Like demigods run to the Shvetadvipam along with Brahma and fall at Lord Vishnu's feet. Oh Lord, please set right the situation. Kamsa is coming and creating disturbance. Like that we can do. That's a very beautiful, it's a very Vaishnava way of taking outlook to this world. Nice point. I like it very, very much. Good point. We will say one Haribol for this point. Haribol. Because jnanis also try to control Shita, Ushna, Sukhaduka, Mana, Apaman in order to go to Brahma Jyoti and merge. So they can attain the ultimate goal. So therefore in Gita it's a repeating theme. Shita, Ushna, Sukhaduka, Mana, Apaman. And at the same time what our Krishna Prabhu gave now is a very Vaishnava way of seeing that Krishna is in control. Not even a blade of grass can move without his sanction. So when we put Krishna in the center and we understand our insignificance, actually such people have very little reason to become proud. They understand that Krishna is in charge. He is in control. I am not in charge. I am not in control. So whatever happens is a Krishna ki ichha, Ishwar ki ichha. They think like that. Yes? Yes, Narsin.
Extension to this answer. After having this attitude, I am not a controller and the modes, there are constantly acting in material world. One will get detachment, one will feel bliss that this is the way world is there. So why I should keep anyways attachment with this world? We can see in the life of...
That point is called detachment point, yeah. Those who are detached are happy. See, there is one... detached people have acceptance in this world. You know what is acceptance? Acceptance means this is how this is going to be and I have to learn to live with it. For example, a man gets a wife who is very beautiful but who is always yelling, shouting. For example. Or a wife gets a husband who is too slow to understand things. You know, she has to tell him 10 times, then only he will do it. So now both of them may be unhappy with one another. She may yell and he may still not do it. And this fellow may be wondering, I thought I got a beautiful wife, but only thing is she's yelling all the time with her big mouth. I want to click a photo and show it to her parents. Isn't it? So now both are, you know, unhappy with one another. But here's the point. If the first thing that living in, there is a Daba formula, you can remember this Daba. You know what is Daba? D for denial. Now what is denial? First the husband may deny, say that, you know, impossible. She is so good looking, how she can be so angry? I don't think she is angry. Once in a while she may show anger like this. I said he thinks. But then every day she exhibits anger. So then after denial, he comes to what platform? Adjust. So he adjusts a little bit. Take, I will adjust. So he adjusts. And then after adjusting, he comes to third platform, bargain. Itna much chillao, thoda kam chillao. Then he bargains like that. And after finally comes to acceptance. He says, this is my wife. She is what she is. I can't change her. It is her daily puja for me. And the wife also tells, if I have to make this fellow get some vegetables from the market, and I have to start now. And only 5 times I have told now. 5 more times I have to tell him. Then only he will do. And she also goes to acceptance stage. Understand? No? So in acceptance stage, detachment comes. And when you are detached, Tyagat Shantir Anantaram, Krishna says. Then you have tolerance. That's a good point. You become detached from the situation, accept that this is what it is. He is what he is, she is what she is. This is how the things are going to be. And things are not going to change. And I will accept it. And acceptance should be mature acceptance, not grudgingly accepted things. Because grudging acceptance will come out in an ugly way later again. So we can develop detachment.
This Pingla, yes. Prostitute also.
Prostitute, correct. She says, Ashahi paramo dukkham. Like that she says, having too much expectation and hope from the material world is a cause of great suffering in this world. She says, very true. Pingla got one very great vision. She saw the globe, the earth, like this, and there was a snake like this. What is the snake? Kalavraga. She saw the snake is devouring the whole globe. So she got that vision and she understood, what is this earth? What is this world? Everything is temporary. Everything is being swallowed by time. Everyone and everything is swallowed by time. And I should not have too big expectations from the material world. Spiritual world is my real home. So in this way we can develop detachment in this world. Like for example, if your health also, say every one of you sitting here, you have some specific health complaint. How many of you have found out what is your specific complaint? You have found out? Okay. So after finding out, the first thing is denial. Correct, no? What is denial? Like for example, somebody is putting food, it's not digesting. Some indigestion. Some friend tells him, hey, put a lot of food, everything will come out. He puts even more. You know? And everything keeps, it's like one-way traffic. Goes in and nothing comes out. So he gets constipation. And so, first is denial. No, 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 I am a young man. How I can get problem? I cannot get problem. Isn't it? And then what they do? Adjust. What does adjustment they do? Oh, now I cannot eat this. I cannot eat that. Little bit adjust. The problem is once the body becomes little heavy, again they eat. The items which you are told no. Correct? No? And the third one is what? Bargain. Correct? No? Don't reduce so much. You know? When it has become a bland diet, it will be like a sickly man's diet. Then one jumps back to taking achar, taking samosa, taking everything in. Correct? No? And finally, acceptance. So you will find this four daba happens everywhere in this world. Daba, easy to remember formula. So in the acceptance stage, your mind becomes peaceful because you are tolerant. You are detached and you are tolerant in that stage. So this is the reality of the world. Anybody else had any other point why you should tolerate? Yes, Mother Sipu.
One example for you told, Lucky. When somebody is a fool, but he has a money, still we should tolerate.
Yeah.
When Tamal Krishna Maharaj, they went to make one life member.
Yeah.
So then life member was saying that you are a cool, you should cool down first. And then only I will give the check to you. Then he's saying, okay, what we should do? He said, you should cool down. He said, you should put this Coca-Cola or Pepsi on your head. Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, if I put, will you give the check? He said, yes, I will give check. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj put and he took the check. So he tolerated the fool to get the money for Krishna.
correct, I heard that. He and who else? One more was there with
one
him.
One more.
Amazing.
Another example, why we should tolerate, because this material world is made like that, we have to tolerate.
Yes.
There is no other way, because material world is like that place only.
That point one of them made. Who made that? Krishna Prabhu, and you made that point, good point. He made
and
that
And because we have to see our time for Krishna consciousness, an example is Gita Pati Brahman, that Kopin Brahman. How he couldn't tolerate the situation, he was trying to adjust the material situation and he lost everything.
Who?
That Gita Pati Brahman, his guru told him to read Bhagavad Gita.
Oh, that one, okay.
If you try to adjust the material situation, you will lose your spiritual life.
He spent too much time adjusting material situation and he got lost in spiritual life. That's a good point, yeah. That is true, because he was not tolerating the problem. He was actually trying to sort out, make it better and better and better. At last, he lost his spiritual life. Correct. Good point. Very nice. So you all got an idea now, why tolerate and how to tolerate. Both we learned. So why I did this exercise now? Because this pastime, Raguna Jalabharata, but if we don't know the application of it in our personal life, we won't benefit much. It will just remain a Bhagavatam pastime. We will say, hey, poor Raguna, I don't know why he was so intolerant. We will be saying, and we ourselves are more intolerant than him. Raguna, isn't it? Actually, there is a Raguna inside all of us. And that Raguna is becoming intolerant in many situations. Therefore, we spend some time. Okay, now what is happening with Raguna? You see how gradually things are taking shape. He will become more angry now. You will see that. What is the verse number we read? 6 or 7? No, 6 we finished. 6 we finished, huh? 6 you read it? Okay, 6 you read. See, 6 verse is very important. See what he is saying. You know. See, now in the 5th verse it is said, the king became angry, correct, no? He understood the situation. That this Jalabharata is walking like, he became angry. After becoming angry, you know what he is saying here is, Aho kashtam, brother vyaktam. He is saying, oh, alas, how troublesome it is. Oh, brata, oh, my dear brother. He is telling whom? Jalabharata. He's telling, are a fool. Don't think you are my brother, that I will not punish you. It's a sarcastic statement. You think you are my brother? Sometimes people ask me, kiska tum baap ka paisa hai kya? Now people ask like that, no? People ask like that. What is the meaning of that? Tumhara baap ka paisa hai? Matlab, this is not your father's money that you can lavishly spend. People ask like that, no? Similarly, he's saying, aho kashtam, bratar vyaktam, he's saying. Uru parishrantaha, dirgham advanam. You have walked a long distance, no? So you are very parishanta, you are very fatigued. Actually, Jadabharata took the palanquin just few minutes ago. But he is saying you have walked a long distance, so you are very tired, no? You have walked a long distance. Gayatri is joking. Eka eva uhivan, he is saying. You have carried my palanquin all alone, no? Nobody else is helping you because you are singly carrying my palanquin, so you are feeling pain. Is it true? Because there are three more people carrying. He is saying, you are singly carrying, you are carrying for a long distance and you are very tired. Like that he is saying. Uhi vaan suchiram na atipiva na samhananga. But what is the meaning of that? You are not very stout and strong and you don't have a very firm body. Jarasacha upadrutaha. You are very disturbed by old age, you know. तुम तो बुड्ढा हो ना इसलिए तुम उठा नहीं पाते हो नाइदर इज सेलिंग इज ही बुड्ढा इज अट्टा कट्टा बुड्ढा नहीं ही हैज अ वेरी स्ट्रांग बॉडी यंग मैन जडभरता इज अ यंग मैन विद अ बुल लाइक बॉडी एंड ही सेइंग यू आर वेरी ओल्ड नाउ सो यू आर नॉट एबल टू कैरी सो यू आर एबल टू सी द सार्कैज़म एवरी वर्ड इज सार्कास्टिक हियर दैट इज यूजिंग एंड ही इज सेइंग भवान सखे नो एव अपरे एते संगठिनः इसलिंग सखे इज कॉलिंग हे माय डियर फ्रेंड आई सी दैट यू आर नॉट वेरी फर्म नॉट वेरी स्टाउट आर स्ट्रांग एंड बिकॉज यू नो वन ऑल यूर फेलो आई मीन कैरियर्स आर नॉट कोऑपरेटिंग विद यू इज़न्ट इट दे हैव ऑल लेफ्ट द पैलेंक्विन टू एंड यू आर कैरिंग अलोन नाइदर इज सेलिंग इन दिस वे द किंग क्रिटिसाइज जडभरता विद सार्कास्टिक वर्ड्स See, the word vipralabdha is used. Iti bahu vipralabdha api. Bahu vipralabdha means with too many sarcastic words they criticize. See, when people insult you, straight insult on the face is painful. But sarcastic insult is extremely painful. For lifetime you may not forget when somebody used a sarcastic insult on you. It's extremely painful. Can you say where there is a sarcastic criticism of somebody? Where else in Shastra you've seen, yeah? Draupadi and Karna, what did Draupadi say? Draupadi, that was a straight insult. And she told him that you are, Sudaputra, I cannot marry you, or whatever. Yes? Suruchi told our Dhruva that, you want to sit in the throne of your father, no? Yes, you can, but you have to be born from my womb. Neither she said. Oh, really? Okay, mother, tell me how I can be born from my womb. Are you a fool? Don't you understand? You have to die and next lifetime you will be born from my womb. That's the statement she made. Very good. Anybody else? Sati. Okay. Now she got angry, but what I am asking is sarcastic speech used by somebody. The Daksha also gave straight insult. It was not sarcastic, yeah? Rukmi, what he did, Rukmi? No, Rukmi actually tried to cheat. He didn't use sarcastic speech, but he tried to cheat. He said, no, I only won, you have to give me money. Actually, he lost every time, and he told Balaram, you have to give me, like that he was demanding. That was unacceptable, yeah? No, I can't hear anything. Give the mic to him.
She told to Duryodhana.
Who?
Draupadi.
What she told?
Andeka beta anda.
That is sarcastic speech. Andeka beta anda. What? That is very powerful. People will not forget. See, even you can remember so well. how Duryodhana will not remember it, you know. Ek baar sun liya to bolenge nahi hum jeevan bhar, you know. Yeah, any other example, yeah? Actually, that speech also was not sarcastic, it was very respectful. He is saying, Jatadharo, Tivratapo, Muninam Gurum. He is telling, oh Lord Shiva, you are a person who wears jatas, which means you are very austere, and you are a Tivratapas, you have done, and you are the, you know, Muninam Gurum. You are actually guru of all the munis, and you are a Paramahamsa, and you are always in Samadhi, you are a great soul. But being such a great soul, if you are keeping your wife on your lap and giving a lecture on Vairagya, you know, you are free from any problem because you are a liberated soul. But what will the other people in the world think about you? They are going to misunderstand you seriously. See, any of you had this problem with any other devotee, that the devotee is a good devotee, but you find his behavior strange, that you are worried that other people will misunderstand him. And that's what was his concern. Who? Chitraketu. So there was no insult hurled by Chitraketu on Shiva. But this is a very fitting example. Andega Beta Anda, he said, no, that sarcastic speech. Yes, yes. He used the sarcasm, correct. See, the Gopinath Patnaik was telling the Vadajan that you want very cheap money for my horses. But let me tell you, my horses are not ordinary. They are not like you, because this fellow had some idiosyncrasy, we say, no? Like this Badajan, while talking to people, either you just turn his head. Different people have different natures. Like one devotee, his nature, either he will do. Like that he will keep doing. Another devotee, you know, while talking, he will do like this. Some people have some idiosyncrasy, we call it. Correct, no? Right. Another devotee I have seen, while speaking, he will say, you know, in one sentence he will say five you knows. Some people have that. He was giving a presentation. So, in my comment I told him, Prabhu, in your lecture today you used 28 you knows. So, you have to give up this you know now. Huh? So, he said, okay Prabhuji. You know Prabhuji, the problem is... you know. So that's what Gopinath Patnaik did. He said, my horses are not like you, you know. They turn your head like this. That was sarcasm, surely.
Duryodhan, in a first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Tava Shishyena Dhima, he says that you is your disciple.
That is sarcasm. See, he said to Dronacharya, Tava Shishyena Dhimata. And what is the meaning of that? Hey, Dronacharya, I know you are a very liberal Brahmana, but no one in this world is as foolish as you. He didn't say as foolish as you. Tava Shishyena Dhimata. He said, what is the meaning? See, Vishwadyumna was born of fire along with Draupadi as his sister. And by the Yajna arranged by whom? Drupada. And now he was born to kill you. You were not unaware of it. Still, you foolishly accepted him as your disciple and you trained him and grew him up to such a degree now. Now he is on the opposite side and your Shishya is on the opposite side and he is going to be the cause of your death. Can anyone be more foolish than this? Like that, Duryodhana wanted to tell him. Instead of saying like that, he said, better you be valiant in the battle because your life is a threat. So indirectly he told her. That's a very good point. So even we all, if somebody uses sarcasm, we will get very pained. Here he is using such a very bad sarcasm. So, yet despite being criticized in this way, Jadabharata had no bodily conception of the situation. He knew that he was not the body, for he had attained his spiritual identity. He was neither fat, lean, nor thin, nor he had anything to do with a lump of matter, combination of Panchamahabhut. He had nothing to give up, nothing to do with the material body, with the hands, legs, everything. He had completely realized his spiritual identity, Aham Brahmasmi. So he was unaffected by sarcasm, he says. And without saying anything, he continued carrying the palanquin as before. Amazing, no? See, generally in this world, the tendency of the conditioned soul is to retaliate. Fight back, argue back, prove our stand. But Jadabharata did not do that. He didn't want to prove to the king that I am okay, you are not okay. He didn't do that. He just continued walking, carrying the palanquin patiently. He was a liberated soul. See, Prabhupada says in that, fifth line below, sixth line, you can read that. Although he did not protest, read it. In the purport to verse number six, purport.
Although he did not protest, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his agent, could not tolerate the injustice of the dacoits. Therefore, he was saved by the mercy of Krishna and the dacoits were killed. In this case, while carrying the palanquin, he also knew that he was not the body. This body was very strong and stout, in sound condition and quite competent to carry the palanquin. Due to his being freed from the bodily conception, the sarcastic words of the king did not at all affect him.
This is one observation we can make, you know, in over the years of Krishna conscious practice. If somebody is criticizing you or insulting you, then you can think about how your mind is responding internally. You can check. Like for example, if some devotee is very fat, for example, it is not that he is eating a lot. People sometimes appear fat. Why? Because of heredity. Correct, no? Their parents may be fat, people will get obesity. Because in family, in certain families, everybody is fat. Mother is fat, father is fat, children are fat, also everybody is fat. But if somebody is criticizing a devotee that, hey, you look very fat, I think you are eating too much. And that devotee might have heard this comment from many people. And he may just not be affected. So in the mind. But another person may get extremely affected by this. Either he may cry, he may break down, or he may get wild and try to retaliate or react. Correct? No, one can do that. So in this way we can observe ourselves in this world. Here Jadabharata did not at all get affected. He never got affected at all. Because Paramahamsa liberated from the bodily plane. But we are not liberated, we are still in the bodily platform. So we get affected. So that observation has to be made. Because he was free from bodily conception, the sarcastic words of the king did not at all affect him. Like that he is saying. He was liberated completely. I read the seventh verse translation.
Thereafter, when the king saw that his palanquin was still being shaken by the carriers, he became very angry and said, "You rascal!"
Now the king lost control. You see, actually Jadabharata didn't lose control. King was using sarcasm. See, while speaking sarcasm, king was like smiling, joking, like that. You know, he was very casual. So a person who is making sarcastic remark, he considers himself superior. And he is insulting Jadabharata. But when Jadabharata did not respond, and he continued to carry in the same manner, now the king lost his composure. He lost his control and then he is getting wild now. Yes?
"You rascal, what are you doing? Are you dead despite the life within your body? Do you know that I am your master?"
See here, the Sanskrit words are very important. Ata punaha sva shibikayam vishamagatayam. He saw that shibikayam is the palanquin. When it was going vishamagatayam, means again it was going like this. Prakupitaha uvacha. So the king became again very angry. And then he said, Rahu Gunaha, the king Rahu Gunaha, said, "Kimidam, hey, what's this nonsense? Are," he's saying, "oh fool, Tvam jivat mritaha." You look like a living dead man. He said, what is the meaning of living dead? Are you dead or what? I am telling you to carry properly and you are not listening to me. Are you alive or are you dead? He's asking. Sometimes people ask, no? Are tum jinda mara hai? Sunta ki nahi? People ask like that, and like that he's asking. Jivat mritaha mam kadarti kritya bartrishasanam aticharasi pramattasya cha. He's saying, you have neglected me. Kadarti kritya mam, you have neglected my order. So bartrishasanam, I can, you don't know, but I can chastise you. and I can punish you like Yamaraj, Dandapani Riva, like the Yamaraj punishes Janatayaha. He punishes the common people in general. Like that, I can punish you and bring you to track. Like that, I can bring you to the Yatha Prakritim Swam Bhajishyase Iti. I can punish you in such a way that you will behave properly. Now, right now, you are not behaving properly. He is saying, Aticharase Pramattasya Cha. You are behaving like a madman. Te Karomi Chikitsam. I will give you proper treatment. Dandapani Riva. Like Yamaraj gives treatment in the Yamaloka, punishes the people to come, bring them to track. I can also punish you like that, he is telling. Eighth verse, he says, Evam Bahu Abaddham Api. Bhashamanam. After Raghuna spoke so many foolish, I mean nonsensical words, after talking, Naradeva Abhimanam Rajasa. It says, Naradeva means king. Here the Abhiman that I am a king and these fellows are my servants. And that arose in his heart due to Rajasa, due to Tamaguna. Rajasa, Tamasa, Anuviddhena. It arose from Rajoguna and Tamaguna in his heart. Madena, due to the Ahankar, due to the false pride. Tiraskrita, Ashesha, Bhagavat Priyaniketam. So he rebuked that great personality who was actually Bhagavat Priyaniketam. He was rebuking a great devotee of the Lord. Pandita Maninam, considering himself a very great learned person. Saha Bhagavan Brahmanah. See, Jadabharata is the name Bhagavan is used. Spiritually very powerful. Tejasvi. So such a great Brahmana, he was insulting him. Brahma Bhuta Sarva Bhuta Surat Atma. He was Brahman, he was actually fully realized in the Lord, and he was also Sarva Bhuta Surat Atma. Which means he was actually a well-wisher of all living entities. Who? Jadabharata. Yeah. Yoga Ishwara. And he was most advanced amongst the mystic yogis. Charyayam in his behavior. Na Ati Vyutpannamatim. Ati Vyutpannamatim means Na Ati Vyutpannamatim means that the king was not very mature. Or he was not very experienced. Smayamanaha Iva Vigatasmayaha. How did Jadabharata respond to this? Smayamanaha means he smiled. But sometimes if somebody speaks sarcastically to you and you don't respond and they become more angry, your smile may be to ridicule them, say that, you know, hey, tumhara chillane se kuch hoga nahi. Hum chinta nahi karenge, tumko jo karna kar lo. Then we may smile like that. But he didn't smile like that. It says, smayamanaha iva vigata smayaha, free from pride. Idamaha. In this way, Jadabharata spoke. He smiled without pride. It's amazing, no? So, even if you smile when somebody is yelling at you, you should smile without pride. Please note. We should smile without pride. Which is very rare in this world. Sometimes there are two people, A and B. A has a good cause. And B is irresponsible fool. Now A is shouting at B and the B may be smiling because the B may not be angry person. A may be angry person. And the B person may be very cool, and when people are seeing it, they will consider whom to be mistaken? You understood my question? You tell the question in the mic again.
Hare Krishna. So there are two people, A and B. So A has a very noble cause but is having a little tempered nature, angry nature. On the other hand, B is a very irresponsible and...
You can say A and C, you can say. C appears to be a cool guy. Okay. Yeah.
So C is a very
angry guy. Yeah.
A for angry and C for very cool, and he's very irresponsible.
Yeah.
So A is shouting at B for getting things wrong. So externally, people, when they're looking at it, then it may appear that person with who is angry...
He's irresponsibly is cool. Wrong. There are people like that. You've seen like that, no? So in this world, we get to see such situations. And now A is shouting maybe for the purpose of getting the work done, because ultimately the good work has to be done, correct, no? So in such occasions, C may, tell A, Prabhuji, take it light. टेक इट कूल, आप चिंता मत करो प्रभु जी, शांति शांति शांति. सो अदर पीपल आर थिंकिंग अरे सी इज सो मैच्योर, ही इज इररिस्पॉन्सिबली मैच्योर बिकॉज काम नहीं होता उससे, ही विल नॉट डू इट, बट ही इज वेरी कूल बिकॉज ही हैज नो टेंशन टू टेक इन लाइफ बिकॉज ही गिव्स टेंशन टू ए ओनली, ही गिव्स टेंशन टू ऑल अदर्स. हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू हैव सीन दिस सिचुएशन? Yeah, it's very common in this world. And that is not the situation with Jadabharata. Therefore, I told you, Jadabharata is responsible. He is carrying the palanquin, although he is not supposed to, he is not expected to. He is doing it. And even when he is smiling without pride. He has no ahankar at all. Because he is a pure devotee of Lord Vasudeva. As we proceed, we will see. He has no ahankar. Yeah. Read the purport.
The distinction between a person in the bodily conception and a person beyond the bodily conception is presented in this verse. In the bodily conception, King Rahuguna considered himself a king and chastised Jadabharat in so many unwanted ways. Being self-realized, Jadabharat, who was fully situated on the transcendental platform, did not at all become angry. Instead, he smiled and began to deliver his teachings to King Rahugana. A highly advanced Vaishnava devotee is a friend to all living entities, and consequently, he is a friend to his enemies also. In fact, he does not consider anyone to be his enemy. Suhrida Sarvadehinam. Sometimes a Vaishnava becomes superficially angry at a non-devotee, but this is good for the non-devotee. We have several examples in the Vedic literature. Once, Narada became angry with the two sons of Kuvera, Nalakuvera and Manigreva, and he chastised them by turning them into trees. The result was thus later, the result was that later they were liberated by Lord Sri Krishna. The devotee is situated on the absolute platform, and when he is angry or pleased, there is no difference, for in either case, he bestows his benediction.
So the anger of a saintly person is also a great blessing in disguise. Narada's anger delivered Nalakur Manigriva. Like that here also, Jadabharata is going to instruct him. He will also chastise him for the king's good. That is always for the ultimate good. It's very beautiful. Now here you can see the table. It's coming there. You read the left and right side, Raghuna's chastisement and Jadabharata's reply. Jadabharata gives reply in the 9, 10, 11, 13 verses. So we will not have to go to those verses, we can see the table. Yeah.
Sarcastic words. Are you dead despite of life? Yes, I am not this body. Fatness, thinness do not apply to soul. Everyone's body changes. Sarcastic remark. Do you not know that I am your master?
See, in the sarcastic words, when he said, are you dead? He said, yes, my body is dead only. That's what he's saying. Body is always dead, he's saying. And then he's saying, do you not know I am your master? What the answer is given?
These positions are temporary, only conventions.
Like that he said. So we have to explain the word, what is convention? This is only convention. Convention means what? For usage. He says that now you are called king and I am called praja. This is only convention, he said. Because, you know, in the next life, likely that I may be king and you may be my praja. That's things will change for the soul, isn't it? What to speak of next life? Even in this life, you will see. One man was working in a government office where there was a HOD of a department. Under him, there was one fellow working for 3 years only, 2 to 3 years. And then the above top man was working for about 12 to 15 years. Experienced man. Boss. So this man who was working for 2 to 3 years, he wrote IAS exam and he cracked it, and he was selected for the officer post, and he was put in different parts of India. After 5-6 years or so, he came back to the same city he was put, and there, like here you go to this building, railway building, you have seen that behind railway station there is one building, RDM building is there. Where, the other day when I went, I found a collector boy sitting. This boy is only 32 years old and he is in charge for that whole building where there are 200-300 people working. So that fellow became a collector. And the old fellow I told you, the HOD, he is one of the 200-300 people who is working there. Although he is old by age, old by experience, but the person under him, he wrote IAS, cracked, and he went to great heights, and Government of India posted him in the same office. So he is sitting there. So, and he is a very young boy. Many of the IAS passed out people are young people, but they are extremely smart people. And therefore they are put in that position, because he can run the whole show with all the people. He knows how to drive 200, 300 people to do many things, you know. So now that fellow who was HOD, he felt very bad, correct, no? Hey, what is this? I was actually shouting him, firing him, now I was above him. Now I have put below him. This is in one lifetime, I am telling you, it's not next lifetime. In the one lifetime only. So you all understand this point? Things can change in this world like that. That's what he told them. It's only convention. Today you are HOD, I am under you. Tomorrow he may become a president, he may become a collector, officer, and the other person may be below him. So this kind of master-servant situation can change. Can change. It depends on various talents. It's quite possible. Like for example, I was in this WADC, Western India Divisional Council. I was a chairman for about 3 years. So Gauranga Prabhu wanted many things for Chowpatty Temple. Whenever it is to be done, he will tell his assistant, please call Rajasham Prabhu. He is the chairman and he has to pass this and that. So they will send mails. So all the temples in Maharashtra and Gujarat, they would send me mails. And that was a very tough period, 3 years, lot of demand. Because yearly we take 2-3 meetings we would take. Now after 3 years, my tenure is over as a WADC chairman. Now Gauranga Prabhu is the chairman now. So now Gauranga Prabhu is chairman. Now I want Pune. We want some sanction for our Vrindadevi temple. Now I have to write to Gauranga Prabhu now. Correct? Now he is the boss, I am das. Earlier I was boss, he was das. Correct? No? You understand, no? Situations change in this world. Things like that. Therefore, he is telling this is only a convention. And one should not... one should not take this conventional positions given in this world too seriously and attach too much importance to being superior. That is the point he is making in this. These positions are temporary. Another example I tell you, very funny example. There was one great artist. This is Radha Gopinath Prabhu told me personally. He said there was a very great artist man who was very expert in sketching. You know, as soon as he would see a scenery and anything, immediately can chuck, draw it and give color and make it very attractive. You know, he was a very smart man. So he went to his sister's house in some other place. So in his sister's house, there was a servant maid working. But servant maid was very beautiful. So he became attracted to her and he made a picture of her when she was cleaning the floor. He made her picture and showed it to his sister. Sister said, what is this picture you have made? You are an artist, I agree. Not that you make everything. But he stayed for about a week or two in his sister's place. Sister was there, sister's husband, and he stayed for a couple of weeks. After which he decided that I will marry this servant maid. He decided to marry. Because servant maid was unmarried also, and he was also unmarried. So he requested the sister, please have a word with her, if she is all right, you know, she can, I can marry her. Sister said, come on, what is this? And there was a big talk and everything. Finally, everything was settled. Now, for his sister to accept this servant maid as a sister-in-law, that was very difficult. No? Correct, no? She told, see, you can marry her, but you cannot come to this city. You don't come, and I can also cannot come to your home, and you don't come here. Or if you come, you have to come alone. Don't bring this lady, because all my neighborhood people will laugh at me. Your servant maid has become your brother's wife. Correct? So in this way, situations can change. You understand, no? How situations can change in this world. So therefore, these are all conventional. Now, earlier, the servant maid's position was what? Servant maid. But now she has become... You know, equal. Yeah, she's like sister-in-law, correct, no? Yeah. She'll be sitting in the, moving around in the house on an equal level with her. She cannot be treated as servant maid anymore, you see. So, therefore, these positions are all conventional. That's what he is saying. These positions are temporary. Only conventions. Next, read it.
The great Brahmana...
Here, this one. One more is here. Sorry.
Will punish you for your disobedience.
Like that he said, no. I'll punish you like whom? Like Yamaraj. Yamaraj punishes and straightens up the people and brings them to track. He said, no. So like that, I will punish you for your disobedience, he said. For that, what he said?
I am self-realized, acting like madman. Even punishing madman, beating dead horse.
So Jalabharata said, okay, sir, if you want to punish me, you can punish. Only I am very sorry to say that you are punishing me is like beating a dead horse. Like that he said. So, Jadabharata was a self-realized soul. If anybody insults him also, the insult is not going to affect him. You understand, no? If he, like Haridas Thakur was beaten, so the 22 marketplaces, the sentries or the soldiers who were beating, their hands were paining. After beating him, they were suffering. They were extremely tired and they were collapsing to the ground. Correct, no? Similarly, Draupadi's, you know, sari, he was pulling, who? Then he fell to the ground. Practically, he dropped unconscious. His whole body was sweating. In this way, when Lord is protecting somebody, the person who is trying to harm him or insult him, only that fellow will suffer. Whereas the Lord devotee, like we say, no, balana banka karisakai, because the devotees of the Lord are protected. So he said, you know, if you try to punish me, it's like beating a dead horse. It will be useless. Don't waste your time unnecessarily with me, you know, you can't change me, you know, you can't beat, you know, like that he said. Now, hearing these three answers, our Raghunav is going to have more questions. And then Jalabharata continued to carry his palanquin. Then it has come to the 15th verse. No, 14th you read it. Shukadeva Goswami is commenting. Read it.
Shukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, when King Rahugana chastised the exalted devotee Jadabharat with harsh words, that peaceful, saintly person tolerated it all and replied properly. Nisayance is due to the bodily conception and Jadabharat was not affected by this false conception. Out of his natural humility, he never considered himself a great devotee and he agreed to suffer the results of his past karma. Like an ordinary man, he thought that by carrying the palanquin, he was destroying the reactions of his past misdeeds. Thinking in this way, he began to carry the palanquin as before.
Purport.
An exalted devotee of the Lord never thinks that he is a Paramahamsa or a liberated person. He always remains a humble servant of the Lord. In all reverse conditions, he agrees to suffer the results of his past life. He never accuses the Lord of putting him into a distressed condition. These are the signs of an exalted devotee. Tatte enukampam shushamikshamanaha. When suffering reverse conditions, the devotee always considers that the reverse conditions are the Lord's concessions. He is never angry with his master. He is always satisfied with the position his master offers. In any case, he continues performing his duty in devotional service. Such a person is guaranteed promotion back home, back to Godhead.
Yeah, this is a very important purport. See, there are almost 8 points Prabhupada makes here. First point, he says, exalted devotee of the Lord, he never thinks I am Paramahamsa. Secondly, he remains a humble servant of the Lord. Then he says, he agrees to suffer results of his past life. Fourth, he says, he never accuses the Lord for putting him in suffering condition. And then fifth, he says, he considers such reverse conditions are Lord's concessions, token punishment, he thinks. Lord has given only token punishment. And sixth, he says, he's never angry with the Lord. And seventh, he says, he's always satisfied in his position, in whichever position master, the Lord puts him. Lord can make him a king, can make him a beggar, you can make him learned, you can make him illiterate, whatever it is, he is satisfied. And then finally he says, continues performing his duty in devotional service. So these are 8 symptoms, Prabhupada says, of an exalted devotee. Very beautiful verse. So especially Prabhupada says in that translation, out of his natural humility, he never considered himself a great devotee, and he agreed to suffer the result of past karma. So this is a state of consciousness of, Jadabharata. Read the 15th translation.
Sukadeva Goswami continued, O best of the Pandu dynasty, the king of Sindhu and Chauvira states had great faith in discussions of the absolute truth. Being thus qualified, he heard from Jadabharat that philosophical presentation which is approved by all scriptures on the mystic yoga process and which slackens the knot in the heart. His material conception of himself as the king was thus destroyed. He immediately descended from his palanquin and fell flat on the ground with his head at the lotus feet of Jadabharat in such a way that he might be excused for his insulting words against the great Brahmana. He then prayed as follows.
Yeah. See, the word is used, it slackens the knot in the heart. It says, Tat Hridaya Granthi Mochanam. It says, So he had a Hridaya Granthi. What is that Hridaya Granthi? It's Ahankar. That Naradeva Abhimanam. That was the Hridaya Granthi. That was destroyed when he heard these words of wisdom from Jadabharata, the great soul. And then we will continue when you come. One small question, one devotee has asked a question. You can read this question. I can answer this and then we can go for prasad.
Question. Yesterday you told about purposeful over addiction of condemned activities. My question is, when someone falls in the trap of Maya, there is nothing left with victim called as his willpower. He just dances like puppet in Maya's hands and things proceeds one by one. So how can we understand the significance of the word purposeful in that situation? Example, Viparanarayan's going to that lady's house seems to be a spontaneous act in that situation since he has fallen into Maya's trap and lost his willpower control. So how to understand purposeful word here?
Yeah. See, Srila Prabhupada says, the pig is living in the ditch with many other multiple pigs and the ditch is stinking. It's a sewage. He is living in the midst of sewage and he eats also stool. And he is thinking, oh, look at my lifestyle, I am eating nicely and I have very nice living condition. And he mates practically with anybody, mother, daughter, sister, anybody. It has no discrimination at all. But who can understand the pig's situation? Somebody who is observing it on a higher plane. Because human beings are more civilized than a pig. So they can say, hey, look at his eating, what is his eating? Look at his family life. What kind of family life? Look at his residence. He's living in a gutter. So when a person is elevated, he can see. But on the other hand, you find the pig is uncontrollable in doing these activities because animals have no control. Animals actually have lost control of their senses. Like you will find a bull eating practically all day. Eating grass, eating busa, fodder. Morning it will eat, afternoon it will eat, evening it will eat, eating all day. They have no control of their eating sense. So their senses are almost programmed, we can say. Like the bull's eating habit or the pig's living habit and eating habits. These are all programmed, they are unchangeable. Therefore, animal life is for sense gratification. And on the contrary, if you take a human body, human beings can have sense control. For example, if a dog going in the street goes and attacks a she-dog, another she-dog going in the street, will police catch? Have you ever seen police catching a dog and arresting? Hey, why are you chasing after a she-dog? They won't arrest. But if a boy going in the road, crosses the road and he catches the hand of a girl and the girl is screaming, will police catch or not? You are doubtful? Immediately the police will catch. They will handcuff him, take him to the police station. Why? Because human beings have the ability to control. Control their senses. So when you control the senses, you become divine. And when you let your senses loose, then one becomes an animalistic. One can see that. So, although control may not be very natural and very easy, because human beings also have some amount of animal propensity. Because of the previous lifetimes, having lived in animal bodies, it's likely that we may have some animal propensity too. But it is not impossible. A human being can, for example, you go to somebody's house, they have kept a vati with a golden liquid in which gulab jamuns are floating, and they have kept a spoon also, you know, saliva is secreting in your mouth, but you'll be waiting. And because they are coming just now, they're coming in, and they are taking their seat, asking, good morning, how is everything? And then they say, please, why don't you take it? Then immediately you'll take it. After that, correct, no? But till they tell you, why don't you take it? Will you take it? Anybody sitting here tell me, you know, without them requesting you to take, you will still take it. As soon as you go there, even before they come and sit in the seat, you'll finish it. Will you do that? You won't do that because we have a civility. Human civilization has civility. Civilized behavior in eating, mating, treating. Like you go to somebody's house, if you are not very familiar with who they are and all, then you may stand at the door and ask, please may I come in? Correct, no? And then they may allow you in. So you'll sit in the drawing room. Not that you just barge into the inside room, go to the kitchen, correct, no? You can't open the fridge and take whatever you want. So you have some civility, you will see that. So I'm talking about civility even in those who are not religious also. Even human beings who are not religious, even they follow some system of marriage, they follow system of eating manners, you know, mating manners. Correct? No? Even I'm not talking about spiritual people. We have not yet come to spiritual. We are only talking about civilized human beings. They have respect. Respect for one another like this. But after a civilized man takes to Krishna consciousness and all, then when you like Vipra Narayan, for example, he is not just a human. He is more than a human. He has cultivated divine assets. He has grown. So his becoming offset from spiritual life or knocked off from spiritual life with Devadevi, who distracted him, is a temporary phenomenon. His permanent future is that he is a devotee of Narayana. That is his Thai bhav, natural position. So now let us answer this question. Say now Devadevi allured him, attracted him to prove to her sister that I can knock down this fellow, I can hunt down this fellow. So she did that. Say he became allured by her at that particular point. So generally you will see that our choices are a product of our habits. Our choices are a product of our habits. And our habits have been cultivated for a long time. Correct, no? So if I am going to be my free will, it depends on my already existing habits. Then where is the free will? There is no free will because the habits make you behave instinctively. One may ask like that. But if you observe, you will see that when a person becomes bewildered like this, there are two things going on in one's mind. You will see that. Because a devotee consciously knows that I am a devotee of Narayana, I am a pujari, I am doing gardening for flowers to be offered Narayana, but at the same time I am also doing a wrong thing. So both thoughts go on. But one is denying the right thought and feeding the wrong thought. When that is done more and more, then one goes, you know, from a human platform, one comes from a religious platform to a human platform to animal platform. The decline happens. And it is not instant, and it is not that, you know, the moment Devadevi allured him, from here he came here. It's not like that. It's a gradual thing. Anybody can see that. But at that time, if Vipra Narayan ran to some devotee and said, Prabhu, you know, I have been a very good devotee, I have been honest and sincere and serious in my spiritual life. I don't know why suddenly this lady ruined my spiritual career. So what I should do now? Then devotees would have protected him. Correct? Now give your mobile, throw away your mobile. Because you are calling her unnecessarily, wasting your life. And they would have done many things, correct, no? For him to be saved. But he didn't go to any devotee and take devotee Sangha. Nor did he make special efforts to disconnect from her. He could have reported to her elder sister, see, your sister wanted to work here, I gave her some, you know, garden service. Now she is alluring me and pulling me down, you know, pulling my leg. Please kindly, you know, keep her under control. Then elder sister will catch sister and say, hey, don't do this. It's inappropriate. So he didn't approach any authorities. He didn't approach any friends. He didn't refer to scriptures. Therefore, Lord decided to punish him. Correct? No? Lord will not punish him. See, when will Lord punish? When a person becomes purposefully over-addicted. That means he has left Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, everything, and is headlong going in an instinctive direction. Then one requires punishment. And there are examples I can give you of people who did not go so far to be punished by the Lord. Can you give an example? Somebody made a small mistake. Before they can fall down, they rectified it, and then they went up again. There are examples in scriptures also. You can find. Like Dhruva Maharaj, for example, was killing the Yakshas. You know? Then actually he was alone, and that Narayan Astra he used when the sages suggested him, you should use Narayan Astra, and then he was saved. But the sages didn't give him any more advice. They went away. And then he was fighting. Then Swayambhu Manu came on his way and then reported to him that Kubera is very upset. At that time he didn't protest. He agreed, correct? No? He took the good advice and he got elevated. He took the good advice and he got elevated. Arjuna was not ready to fight the battle, which was sinful actually, because he's rebelling against Lord Krishna. But he heard good advice after giving his proposition, so he was elevated again. Similarly, Janamejaya wanted to destroy all the snakes, you know, when our Vasishtha came and preached to him. Pulastya also came, because there was a connection of Pulastya. So then he agreed not to do that wrong act. Can you give other examples of people who were about to... Prithu was harboring a wrong thought of killing Indra. Then after Brahma and Vishnu came in, then he immediately agreed to change. Similarly, find Diti wanted to kill Indra. She got Pumsavanavrata, and then when she became purified by devotional service, and then she gave it up. So there are innumerable examples in Shastra of people who began with a wrong thought and modified their thought. And they were ready to either to compromise or to give it up. They were ready for it. And you can give many examples like this. So nobody can say that, Prabhuji, once I have begun in the sinful direction, I'm gone now. Don't you know, make me responsible for my activities. Abhi main gaya, abhi agle janam dekhenge, abhi hum nikal rahe hain abhi. This should not be our attitude. If this is our attitude, we are disempowering ourselves. We are weakening ourselves by this wrong thought. Actually, you have at every moment, you have your ability to respond. At every moment, in every stage. So the example is given. If you go from Pune to Calcutta in a flight, once you sit in the flight, till Calcutta you have no freedom. Agree? Because you are already from here to Pune to there. Can you anywhere jump out of the plane? You can't. So our destiny is also like that. From one situation you go to another place. But in between the two points in the aeroplane, you can do things which may make your future bright or bleak. For example, in the aeroplane, say suddenly you take out a gun and go to the, you know, cabin of the pilot and then put it on his head and say, now I want to hijack you. Don't take it to Calcutta, take it to Andaman Nicobar somewhere. Go to place. So I will loot all the people. And, correct? Now if you hijack, of course when a person tries to hijack a plane, then signals will be sent to the control room and then they will somehow, you know, bring the aeroplane to Calcutta. And when the plane lands, this fellow will be immediately arrested. He'll be put behind the bars. On the other hand, in the aeroplane, he met some very good businessman. He was sitting next to you. You talk to him, he talks to you, and then both of you. Then you end up becoming his business partner only. He says, you don't have to give any money. You have very nice intelligence. So your intelligence and my money, like that he says. So when you get down, you have a bright future. So your bright future or bleak future depends on how you act in the plane. Similarly, one Mataji, my sister, was saying in Coimbatore, you know, her husband was bedridden because of some disease, you know, in the body. And her son also got some accident, automobile accident, and he had broken his leg. So two men in the house, both are bedridden. They are lying. And this Mataji is chanting her 16 rounds, rising in the morning, cooking for the family, sending children to school, everything. So my sister was saying that when she saw her, she was stunned. You know, I have no complaints, she was telling. Because if this lady can be still be so Krishna conscious. So I gave you the example of Jayananda Prabhu. Jayananda Prabhu got leukemia. We can also get leukemia. Anybody can get leukemia, correct? But after getting leukemia in the hospital, what he did? Is there freedom or not? That type of freedom is there with the jiva always. Srila Prabhupada ki. Now we come back at 3 o'clock, we will continue.